Scripture before? Luke chapter 6. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure. What does it say? Does it say, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it will be poured in your lap. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. If you have no other reason for giving, just take that one and take it with you. Because how you give is how it's going to be given to you. And I don't know about you, but I want to be up there in the top, that part about running over and poured into my lap. That's where I want to live. That's where I want to live. Now, all of us this morning, if we compare ourselves to places all around the world, listen to me, church, no matter what situation you're in this morning, you are wealthy. I've been in the countries. I've been there. I've seen it. This morning, we live so much better than 99% of the world. Anybody not have air conditioning right now? A couple people maybe because of the storm? No, because you got a rental. It's your insurance paper, right? You're living waterfront on a condo, right? Because it's been hot, right? It's been hot. But we get by because the Lord takes care of us when we give. It says he'll give to us. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of your crops. I want to ask you, what did you do with your crop this week? What is your crop? I know you're like, I was talking to farmers back in the day when they used fruit and they used all the. I get it, okay? I get it. Very few of you are farmers. But if you got a check to this week, that's your crop. What you work for and what you brought in, that's your crop. What did you do with it? Did you help someone else? Or did you just continue to help yourself? In Matthew 23, it says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, your mint, your dill, your cumin. But you've neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, faithfulness. And he says this, you should have done these things. You should have given without neglecting the former. You should have done all this. Throughout scripture, tithing and giving the first fruit of your crop. But that's not the kicker, guys. It's because it's to walk in obedience. Man, you want to see God move in your life? Walk in obedience. You want to see God do something amazing? Man, that 10% is nothing to what God can do in your life when you give it for the right reasons. When you give to God for the right reasons. And we won't want God to give to us as we walk. And it's not making a spectacle out of it. So what the scripture was talking about in the olden days when people would come into the biblical days when they would come into the temple, there would be poor people on the outside and they would be sitting here and they'd be like alms for the poor. And here's what would happen. The rich people would come in, like today's rich people, kids will know what I'm talking about. They do the whole money, 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 money thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about? For you older people, just look it up on YouTube later, okay? You can celebrate with us too. But what was happening, yeah, they're making it rain. That's today's time. Make it rain. But what would be happening is the wealthy people would come in and they'd be like, alms for the poor. And so they would whip out their big thing and be like, oh, alms for the poor. Oh, here, my child. May the Lord be with you and bless you always, little one. And they would make their way down the aisle and they would be like, oh, you're so needy. Here, take this. May God strengthen you and help you. And they would just make their way down and, oh, you need this more than I need this. And I'm here this morning to help you receive and be everything that God wants you to be. And, oh, yes, sir, thank you. I'm glad you could be here and God's going to help you. I know you're missing an arm, but you're going to be okay. Take that dollar and get yourself something to drink down at the store. And they would just make a spectacle out of what was happening. Does that make sense? And it wasn't because they were spiritual, and it wasn't because they were doing anything that mattered. What it was is so people could see them with a big wad of cash and giving it to people and being out in front of everyone so that they could see their, what did that thing say, not to practice your righteousness in front of everyone. That's what it was about. And then I imagine some of them would get wild, and at the end they just throw it up and go, oh, I mean, as they were in the temple, and they would just let it go. They would make it rain in the alms, right? And the Bible clearly tells us not to do that. But that's not what we're supposed to do. We give because we see a need. You know what I love? I love when we go to big cities. And years ago, I was convicted because I would pull up, and I've shared this with you before. There's a certain place always in Orlando. This certain two people always sit. Every time I've been there, they're there. And I can remember saying things like this. Man, if they get a job, they wouldn't have to sit out here in the heat. Right? And I've said it, and listen, guys, we don't know their situation. We don't. But I was convicted because I just saw this car pull up, and I saw a piece of fruit just passed out to the person, and they just rolled the window back up, and there were no words of shame. They just handed it to them. And I remember thinking to myself, man, here I am sitting here, pastor in a church. I've been a believer for all these years, And I'm sitting, and the first thing I think about is, oh, they can get a job. And then the person in front of me just slides it out there to them. Because listen, guys, it's not our job to judge why they're in that situation. It's our job to help them while they're in that situation. And all of us have to get better at it. So the next time I was there, you know what I was loaded with? Bananas. I was ready. I was ready. And I did the same thing. I dropped my wife and them off at the mall, and I pulled back down to that same road. And there was that lady. She came walking up, and I slid the window down, and I was like. And you know what? It was just a banana. But I was like, man, and she took that thing, and I kid you not, folks. She hit it in one swallow, and it was gone because she was hungry. And I was reminded, I was doing it because I wanted to feel good about me, right? But she was hungry. And so when we start giving and meeting needs for the right reasons, because we're walking in obedience. And I know a lot of times we think, oh, well, we're coming in, and we have a new church, and it's getting remodeled, and somebody else will give, and somebody else will do that. Listen, bills have to be paid. And the way God pays bills is through faithful believers who show up and tithe and do the things that they're supposed to do. But when you leave this building, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. That's where you go out and make a difference. Reaching to people who are in need and the people who need help. So carrying on, Matthew chapter 6, it's talking about prayer, verses 5 through 8. It says, and when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. I love that. Don't be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Boy, I don't know about you, but I can't stand the street corner screaming and hollering. Truly, I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans. For they'll think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Listen, what this means is don't go out on the street corner and stand there and go, oh, Jesus, 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 they need some Jesus. Oh, I'm here, Jesus, and everybody's looking at me on the corner with my microphone, Jesus. Hey, you're going to hell, buddy, if you don't change. Oh, but I'm righteous, Jesus, look at me, it's hot out here and I'm sweating and I got my speaker and I'm just out here saying the same things. I'm babbling. And guess what I'm doing? I'm not making a bit of difference. And I'm not saying it's wrong to street preach. Please help me understand, folks. I'm not saying that at all. Because we've done evangelism, and there's a time and a place for that. But when you're at the same corner every day saying the same thing over and over and over, how many times have you seen anyone get out of their car and kneel down and then pray with them right there on the side of the road? For me, it's been zero. And listen, your efforts could be used so much better somewhere else. You could be down at the mission. And when those men are coming in at night, you could be working with them and saying, hey, man, there's a God out there that loves you and wants to change what you're doing. And, man, let me tell you what he's done for me. You could be working with the battered wives and the group that gathers them together and helping them, saying, you don't have to live this way. There's a Father that loves you. And you could be using words that mean something and actions that do something rather than just standing on the corner drawing attention to yourself and how holy and wonderful and all that good stuff that you can pray. Instead of drawing attention to ourselves, there should be less of us and more of Jesus Christ as the gospel goes forth. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't just keep babbling. Listen, smooth, fancy prayers won't get you anything. I've tried it. You know, there's nothing wrong with mixing up and learning some prayers, but reciting things so that you can stand up in front of everybody and have this awesome prayer doesn't mean anything. It's meaningless if it doesn't come with the right motive. It's meaningless. See, prayer is to petition God, to grow closer to God, to get into God's presence, to hear from God, to experience God. That's what prayer is about, to pray for people who are struggling, to intercede for people who can't do it for themselves, to pray for the lost, to pray for the needy, to pray for those that are serving overseas, to pray for missionaries that are putting their lives on the line this morning while we sit here in the comfort of this beautiful room with air falling down around us and a fresh cup of coffee in our hand. To get serious about praying for real needs and what God's doing across this world. And when we pray and we seek his will, we'll find his purpose and we'll experience his presence. And that's what we want. And here's some rewards of prayer. Man, find direction. Who's been like me before, just walking aimlessly in life? And God, I just need some direction. Tell me what I'm supposed to do, God. Show me. Receive answers. See doors opened. and see doors closed. How many of you ever look back and you were so thankful now that door closed? You were so angry in that moment. You're like, God, I did this and I don't know why, God, you closed the door right in my face. I can't even believe this is happening. Right? And now you look back and you're like, thank you, God, for closing that door. I don't know what I was thinking. Right? Because part of it is God opening doors. A part of it is God closing things off that you don't need to walk through. He'll open and he'll close doors. It strengthens our character and our spirit. Develops in us faith. Deeper sense of God's presence. That's why we pray. Matthew 6, 16 through 18. We'll get to fasting this morning. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces. I love that. They disfigure their faces. You know anybody that does that? You know whenever their life's not going good because they just have that look on their face? You know what I mean? They disfigure their face. Truly I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it won't be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Many of you probably have read about this in Scripture. I made me a fasting, some sackcloth this morning. In the Scripture, most of the time they would take a black hairy animal and sackcloth. A lot of times when I was growing up, they're like, it's like a burlap bag. That's kind of something that you could kind of equate it to, because if you make a shirt out of burlap, it's not comfortable, right? It's itchy, it's scratchy, it's not comfortable. I mean, this is way better. It's soft and it gleams with the light, you know? But here's what would happen. The hypocrites, the people that would want everybody to know what was going on, they would put on their sackcloth and then they would come walking into work. I'm fasting. My stomach's real. Oh. If I just make it in my office. And originally, it was to be a sign that they were broken and humbled before the Lord. But it just became an outward sign of what was happening. That they wouldn't want everybody to know how holy they were. Oh, I'm fasting. Bear with me this week, people. I'm fasting. I'm fasting. I'm trying to connect with the Lord. I'm fasting. No, I prefer, you know, Armani, but this will have to do today, the goat skin, because I'm fasting and I'm seeking God, because I'm fat. Did I mention that I'm fasting? I'm fasting. They would just figure their face and they would just lay around and moan and whine. And all the time they were moaning and whining, disfigured, they could have actually been seeking God and praying and making a difference rather than just drawing attention to themselves. And that's why the Scripture says to do it in secret. Wash your face, get prepped, get ready to go to work and smile, grit your teeth and smile. I'm here, man, I'm going to do this and no one's going to know. I'm hurting on the inside. Yes, hallelujah, Jesus, amen. So glad to be here today, right? And I don't know about you, but when you're my size, my stomach says things sometimes that people already know that I haven't eaten. Anybody besides Ivan? The Bible tells us to do it. Nothing to lay around. And I looked this old song up. Some of you may know it. It says, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Anybody remember that one? Right? The second line says, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Is that what God's calling us to do when we're fasting? No. No. And nothing that we're doing, God has called us to do that. That's a hee-haw line. If you don't know what that is for you young folks, you can look it up on YouTube too, guys. Just like giving and praying, fasting is an expectation. Not if, but he said, when you fast, this is the way you do it. But see, it's something we rarely find in today's society, in the modern church, because why would we deny ourselves? I mean, this is life is about living free and getting in touch with who we are and doing what we want to do. And what's right for you may not be right for me, but hey, if it's right for you, buddy, go try it. I'll support you in all that. That's not what the Scriptures tell us. We don't fast for attention. We fast for results. And listen, it's not what we can do. It's not what you can do on your own, because you can't do it on your own. Listen, there's brokenness taking place in this room today that cannot be healed on its own. There's relationship issues that cannot be fixed on their own. There's health issues that cannot be fixed on their own. It can only be fixed through the power of the Holy Spirit when God steps in and changes the situation and makes a difference. Listen, I'm fasting this week for results. I'm fasting this week for breakthrough. I'm fasting this week because I want to see us lay hands on people and then be healed. I'm fasting this week for some of your children that are lost and walking in darkness. And in order for them to make eternity their home, man, they have to find the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I'm fasting for your children. I'm fasting for relationships. I'm fasting for issues that are going on in people's minds where they think the only way out of this life is to end what they have going. I'm fasting that God will speak to us in a powerful way so that we can see the results when breakthrough takes place. That's why I'm fasting and praying this week. And I want you to join me, because it puts us in a position to hear from God and to see God move. It puts us in a position. And listen, we can't do that on our own. We can only do that when our minds and our spirits, our hearts are aligned so that God will work within us. So when you give, when you fast, when you pray, do it in secret. And our Father who sees in secret will reward you. I'm going to blaze through this. If you give me 5 minutes, I'll be done. Matthew 6, 19 through 34. Do not store up your treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry again, saying, what shall we wear? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? What shall we eat? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble for its own. I find it so interesting that right behind when you give, when you pray, and when you fast, he gives us some very specific things. Number one is to stop worrying. I find that so interesting that it's in this passage to stop worrying. Because if you worry, can you add a single hour to your life? And the answer is no. Why do you worry? Why do you worry about what you're going to wear? Why do you worry about what you're going to eat? Why do you worry about these things? The Heavenly Father knows what you need, and he takes care of all the animals and the birds and all these things. He will take care of you. Why are you worrying? What's it going to change? I'll tell you what it's going to change. It's going to change your health, and not for the good. It's going to change your sleep, and not for the good. It's going to change your ability to make good decisions, and not for the good. That's what it changes. And the scripture tells us not to worry, that he's imploring us to trust God, that when we give and when we pray and when we fast, God will work all these things out. He'll work it out. And then right behind it, I love that he throws this in there. Remember who wrote this, who was speaking this? Anybody remember who this was talking? Jesus. Matthew chapter, this was Jesus. And he says this, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. I love that he wraps it up with this amazing verse. That if you'll just seek the kingdom of God and the purposes of God and the plans of God, I'll give you the rest of it. I already got that worked out. Just seek the kingdom. Do the work of the kingdom. Be busy about your Father's business. Stay in prayer. Continue to give. Fast. If you'll do these things, I'll do the rest. That's what God was saying. That's what Jesus spoke to us. If you'll do these things, I will take care of everything else. If you'll just do these things. I think it's interesting. Don't worry. And make the primary purpose of your life to seek the kingdom of God. Listen, church. God's ready. Are you? He's ready. Are you? Are you ready to put in a little bit of work and a little bit of effort to see the power of God fall in your life? Are you ready? I hope you are. Because I hate to get passed by. And I'd hate for you to be passed by as well. Listen, I challenge you this week. Let's get serious and down to business with God. For the next 5 days, starting tonight, 6 o'clock, right here, we're going to worship. We're going to pray. Through Wednesday night, we'll be meeting in this room. Tomorrow morning, we're going to get up. We're going to pray. We're going to seek God. And however you can join the fast, I'm not expecting you to do all 3 meals. I'm going to try my hardest to do this whole week. That's my plan. If you can join me in that, please do. Join me. But if you can only do 1 meal, start somewhere. Start somewhere. And tell God, hey, God, I'm serious about this. I want you to do something amazing in me. God, I want you to work. I want you to move. Whatever needs you have, throw it out there and say, God, here it is. Can you work this week? Can we see breakthrough this week? Can we see you move this week as we believe that you will? Amen. Let's pray together.